Coming up, we're going to talk to a guy who says he knows the skills you need to climb in the workplace. You look around and there's other people that just seem to climb the ladder and you don't. What do they know that you don't know?
Do you know?
This guy says that's not the case. So stay tuned. Maybe we'll all get some tips coming up on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
According to the New York Times, the White House kitchen has been stocked with President Trump's favorite snacks, including Lay's potato chips. That's weird. He likes Lay's potato chips. I figured it would be more of a Pringles guy, since he's the only person whose hands are small enough to reach the bottom of the can.
Wow. What? Why are you laughing? Hyena-like. That's a bad joke. Bad joke.
I thought it was funny. Welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show. I love Lay's potato chips, too. Trump and I could eat together. We could eat together, no doubt.
Lay's, the sea salt and vinegar kind? The salt and vinegar?
No, the plain yellow potato chip. God, plain. The way God intended it.
Simple Jack, everybody. Simple Jack. They're too salty. Too salty.
They do make my gums hurt.
Yeah. So, please welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show, Dan Rust, who is an author, a career advisor, whatever that is. His book is Workplace Poker, but I tell you what. Well, first of all, Dan, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, I should say, I've read that Trump eats pizza with a knife and fork.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I'm imagining with the Lay's potato chips, does he, I don't know, I'm not sure how he would pick them up.
Chopsticks.
Yes, people obviously. Put them in his mouth.
So, Dan, listen, I was reading a description of you and what you do and the way you think, and it really rung a bell for me because my two big kids especially are entering the world of work, full-time work. And actually, my little one is applying for a part-time job now. And I've been trying to explain to them how you are successful in the workplace. And it really, it reminds me of a lot of things you talk about. It's kind of the... it's not just, you know, if you sell clothes, you got to sell clothes well. You got to understand how to act and how success actually happens.
Man, it's the toughest lesson. I think it takes a lot of us decades to learn it. That, you know, talent, ambition, hard work just gets you in the game. And it's all of those people skills underlying the game that really determines whether your career accelerates rapidly or if you just end up being one of those folks who kind of trudges along and maybe has a decent life, but just not that career you were hoping to have.
Well, I think one of the things you point out, you work somewhere and you know someone who just seems to climb the ladder and you can't figure out why. Why are they rising through the ranks and I'm
not? Sleeping with the boss, obviously.
Yeah, that's what we always assume, stuff like that. What are they doing that the rest of us aren't?
Well, now you asked, oh, what in the world is a career advisor? Frankly, I don't even know myself what exactly a career advisor is, but I'll tell you how I got here. I'm a guy with a job. I work for a company like everybody else. I work in the real world like everyone else. But I recognized about, I don't know, years ago, that there were these underlying capabilities that certain people had that really accelerated their careers, and I wrote a book, Workplace Poker, and the book did really well, and then suddenly I've got people emailing me questions and calling me and contacting me, and it's not really a job, it's just sort of a, but it's not a hobby either, it's just a thing, and so I guess I'm now a career advisor, and the big lesson I try to instill for people is that managing your career it's almost like a separate part of your job. You do have to consciously think about how am I managing this, and that's how I think the arena of politics gets a lot of people into trouble, and they end up making unforced career errors because they confuse the workplace with the rest of their life, and they think that just because I'm out on the street, you know, eventually, for example, Drew Carey's son is going to go to work somewhere eventually, and he's going to have to figure out that you can have those opinions, but the minute the camera's in front of you or the minute you're in the workplace, you either have to tone them down or just decide, you know, this really isn't the right place or time.
Are you hearing from people who are getting all fired up over politics in the workplace?
Well, I got an email two days ago from a young lady who was incensed because her supervisor at a coffee shop asked her to take off her pink knit hat. And she was proud of it. She'd knitted it herself, And she said other people wear knit hats, you know, in the coffee shop who work there. And the idea that her supervisor wanted her to take her hat off because she was making a statement, she was incensed by it. And I ended up calling her and talking her through it. And honestly, I don't know if I got any traction at all. But my basic point to her was we're paid to be productive with a wide variety of people in the workplace. And our employers don't want us bringing abrasion into the workplace. And right now, I mean, there is just such a strong degree of emotion around all things Trump that any mention of it, but whatever side you are on politically, it just makes perfect sense to set that aside and not bring it into the workplace. But unfortunately, I think you guys are part of the problem.
Yes, clearly.
You get us dialed up. I listen to your show, and you're driving into work, and your mind gets spinning, and then you say some things that sound a little funny. So then, naturally, I want to repeat those. And we all get confused. We think that we are you, and yet the lines don't carry at work the way they carry on the radio.
You're better off. Not being me.
Dan Rust, the book is Workplace Poker.
But so one thing you said there, and I think a lot of people miss that somehow. I hope I can convince my kids of that before they get into the workplace. You're there to produce something for the person who's paying for you. I mean, you're there to get something done for them that makes them more money. And anything that gets in the way of that, they don't need.
I do think we've confused them, the newest couple of generations in the workplace, because employers have wanted to make the workplace more friendly, make it more of a place that feels like home, where they want you to spend more time there and want you to feel like it's a reflection of your personal values with our corporate mission statements. But the reality is all of that is nice to a degree, and you have to develop a self-regulator, because if you don't start to regulate yourself in the way you are, the way you control your mind and your mouth and your fingers when you're typing, what happens is suddenly you're the Secret Service agent who tweets out that she's not going to take a bullet for the new president. And I'm sure she realizes now, oh, that probably wasn't a good career move. But I don't know if she's ever going to recover from making that, you know, that statement. So it doesn't take much to derail a career.
Let's give people a couple of solid takeaways as they're probably driving to work in terms of being more strategic and smarter about managing your career. What are your top couple?
Number one, it's probably the hardest one, but it's a big one. If you want to read people well at work, you have to set aside your emotional reaction to them. If you want to be a really good people reader, you have to understand that you can see other people's deep flaws without having to judge them harshly, without having to criticize them. In fact, you get much better at seeing them as they really are when you set aside those harsh judgments. And I just think that we've become a society where we quickly go to the harsh personal judgment when someone has either an opinion or does something that's not right, you know, or not in alignment with the way we.
Well, and I would add to that, it doesn't really make any difference whether you like them or their thoughts about various things at all if your job is to try to make a living together.
Right. And Dan, let me throw in that, you know, Jack and I, through our career, we've worked for a lot of colorful and quirky people, not surprising in media. Some of them were also idiots or jerks or whatever, nuts. And the more dispassionate we became, the more calmly rational about that we became, the better we got at managing our career. Never react emotionally.
Absolutely.
And part of it's the part of being a partnership was handy because we always had to get back together and talk about what had just happened and decide how to deal with it. And that kind of, I think, kept us in check. But I know what you're talking about.
Well, and the partnership helps you dial each other down when it's appropriate. And most people would be better off if they had someone, you know, whether it's your spouse or a partner or someone that you can confide in, and someone who will dial you down as opposed to someone who will dial you up. Because I have lots of those. We all have lots of those people who they're happy to, you know, take our conversation and make it, you know, more interesting by making it more intense. But I think the opposite is better. And then the other really quick big lesson, I think, is recognizing that sometimes the workplaces that are imperfect, the bosses that are imperfect, or even like deeply flawed or challenging, actually create better opportunities for differentiation than the workplaces that are fantastic. You know, you go to work for a company where everything is great, everyone does what they're supposed to do, everyone communicates well, everything is clear. It's kind of tough to shine in that environment. But you work for a deeply flawed boss or an organization that has really deep problems, sometimes, not always, but sometimes that presents opportunities where you can shine or differentiate yourself.
Wow, that's a good one.
Your career.
I've seen that with bosses who had some serious weak spots, and somebody comes along and fills in that weak spot, and they become indispensable to
right.
that person.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You learn how to get out of your own way and find the success you deserve. Workplace Poker is the name of the book. Dan, I tell you what, we got to talk again sometime. It's interesting stuff, and I mean,
I'd love to, because you know, obviously there's a ton of material here. But if people are interested in more, like right away, just go to workplacepoker.com. They can access a ton of information.
All right, sounds good, Dan. It's good to talk to you.